Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Trying to think of all the times in life where that two-hour rule of had I only had it, how that would have helped. You know, getting out of a meeting that goes that long. Dating would have been a lot easier.
Two-hour rule, I'm sorry.
Two-hour rule. Okay. Beep. I'm done.
Yeah. Guys would like that, too. All right. We've been cuddling for 2 hours. I got to go. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm in my basketball league tomorrow, and I gotta get up real early. I gotta play. I gotta go home.
Dinner's been great
because I have basketball in the morning.
Right, exactly. I gotta leave. I gotta get. You know, I knew a guy. This is true. Who used to keep a baseball uniform in his closet. So that he could encourage his date to leave at a certain time of night.
That's class.
And say, hey, you know what? I got, you know, I'm in a league, and you know we're playing at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they would open up the closet, and I gotta change. I don't want to have to wake you up and move you at that point. It's probably better if we just go now.
The story was that convincing. Yeah. He needed actual evidence.
He had a prop. It's always good to have a prop.
Just in case you doubt my story, look,
right.
I have a uniform.
Yes, and that guy's name was Brett Kavanaugh.
Oh, stop.
God. Oh,
that may come out this week now that they have a week to sit on things.
Here's what we've just been told. That Brett Kavanaugh, investigation by the FBI. If you're just joining us on the World Wide Web or on CLTV, here's what has been decided. In what was a very dramatic moment. It was like a movie.
Really?
On Capitol Hill today, and we're sitting there looking at that Senate hearing room, and you're like, they're all walking around, they're padding around back there at their chairs and having meetings with each other.
And you had all the reporters showing up at the mics for the various networks and cable networks saying, we don't know, something is going on, it's very clear, there's something happening, but we don't know what it is.
Right. So what happened was that they decided to pass Brett Kavanaugh's nomination out of committee, send it to the Senate, with the proviso that Jeff Flake, who agreed to pass it out of committee so it doesn't kill Brett Kavanaugh's nomination completely, but sends it to the Senate, but he is not in favor of voting for Brett Kavanaugh unless there is an investigation by the FBI for no more than a week. So we're assuming it would be by next Friday. They could have a full vote in the Senate. That would be an extended background check. That would be, and we're told now, the words that they're using now, is they would be, this would be an investigation only of the new current credible allegation.
The Christine Blatt, Dr. Ford.
Yeah.
Allegation. Not
I'm assuming that that's what it means. Now, maybe they're going to look at the other two that have popped up, but they just don't want another week of people popping
up.
And there have been
cynic in me wonders if that's what happens during this period of time. Like, do people use this? This buys some more time, and what happens?
Well, I mean, that could happen, but
if they're credible, good. But if it seems like it's more part of this, you know, charade, this sort of, you know, this politicization of the whole thing.
I got to tell you, this one that Avenatti's got, this could be my opportunity to get rid of Avenatti, too. I got people, you know, there's people who I think are going to go to jail at the end of all of this.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, another one just popped up, by the way. Another guy from my list from 2016.
Who's that?
Jason Miller? Is that it was on CNN. He was supposed to be the communications director.
Yes.
For the White House. And then mysteriously, right after the Trump
terrible
administration
story out on him.
Took over in 2017, in January of 2017, he was going to be the communications director. And then mysteriously decided not to do it. And he went to be an analyst on cable news.
Yeah, he was on CNN.
Right.
Paid political commentator.
Right. And there's some allegation that dates back to the early 20-teens.
Court documents allege he impregnated an unnamed woman, then secretly slipped her drugs that induced an abortion.
Right.
So he is, he's denying the allegations. But he is no longer serving in that capacity.
Right. But that thing has popped way back out now, and I just got a feeling. He was just one of those guys, though. There were guys that always seemed to be slippery, and they've all, you know, there's Manafort, Flynn. You know, there were guys that
Lewandowski might be in that category.
Oh, he's definitely in that category. He's definitely in that category. So I just, you know, and then there were people around him that, and then there's people that are, you know, kind of lightweights. I think Jared is fairly light in weight. Quite honestly, I don't think that he's the guy that really we should be using for Middle East peace, but okay, whatever. Because he celebrates the Jewish holidays does not make him an expert on Middle East politics, but okay, fine. That's the way they want to do it.
Okay.
But then there's some other people, like Dan Coats, who I have the ultimate respect for.
Sure.
And General Kelly and some of the other folks, you know, Mattis, there's some great guys around him as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're the ones that I'm watching out for, and that's one of them. All right. One of the guys that we have all the time that I have incredible respect for is Michael Steele, Man of Steel. He's going to join us coming up right after Violetta tells us about the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Con Show with Anna DeBlanzis right here on 720 WGN.
One of our favorite people joining us.
He is the host of a podcast that is called The Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you get to know Michael Steele, he just doesn't seem like that, like the kind of guy that it may not have been his idea.
I don't know. I could see him in a cape. He's kind of a superhero type.
Yeah, but he's actually, you know, as a young man, I mean, he was very, very devout. He went to Jesuit programs, Jesuit schools.
Sure.
And I think he has some. When we get him on here, we've just lost him off the line here for a second. We'll bring him right back. We were texting back and forth about the Georgetown Prep last night. I think he's very familiar with this school.
Oh, that's right. He grew up in the area.
Yeah, he
did.
Forget
about that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Michael Steele's
so
from D.C.
Yes, and so he was about the mascot of Georgetown Prep. I don't want to get into it. Anyway, the point is this, that he just doesn't seem like the kind of guy that, you know, would have greenlit the name Man of Steel. It sounds like an agent. Baby, darling, sweetheart,
just
Bubby,
listen.
I've got this idea. I think it's a wonderful idea. Your name is Steele. Steele, I don't know if you know this, but steel is a very hard substance. It's very strong. And Superman, they used to call him Man of Steel. Now, we checked. That is in public domain. We're not going to have any kind of infringement problems. So we're going to call the whole thing Man of Steel. Are you down with it, Bubby?
And then he has to say yes, because... You know, can't say no to that pitch.
Because the agent from New York always has to pretend he's using the lingo of whoever he's talking to.
Oh, gosh.
Are you down with it, Bubba?
I'm going to look forward to hearing his podcast. I have not checked it out.
Man
just
of Steel. What is it? You got that show on POTUS. Are they still on POTUS? I think he's still on POTUS. Mm-hmm. Or did Chris Cuomo replace them? Chris Cuomo's got his own show on satellite radio now in which you actually hear the testosterone pouring out of his eyeballs. You
the
can
veins
actually hear
popping
it popping
in his neck.
You can hear the popping of the veins.
That's passion.
Yeah.
You're like, wow.
I'm telling you right now. Let me explain how this goes. And then we're going to get after it. Here's how it goes, because I grew up in this. My family's in politics. I don't know if you know that. Yeah, no. We get it.
No.
We get it. You have the same name as the governor of New York. I get it. Oh, and the same name of the former governor of New York. We get it. Okay, we get it.
It's political royalty. He is.
It is. He does get great guests, though.
Yeah.
Because he gets guests from both sides of the aisle, and they all want to say hello to his mother.
Did I say that?
Yeah. It's like Kellyanne Conway is on that show, that Cuomo show, all the time. And she's like, Christopher, say hello to your mother for me.
Well, he gets something different out of the guests. Sometimes it means he gets into arguments. Sometimes it means it gets really heated and hot. And then, you know, but it's intense to watch his back and forth with his guests.
There must be something that goes on with that guy, though. I was in my only experience with him ever was he walked by me in a hallway at CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And he had just gone from ABC News to CNN. This, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And I was in a meeting there and I'm walking out of the office. And this is the New York offices, and he's charging down like the hallway. It's not even a hallway. It's just a bunch of desks, and there's lanes, you know, you can be in mm-hmm. with the desks. And he goes charging past me, and it was like a linebacker. He's gigantic, he and is. He's ripped.
Totally.
And he has this look, and he looked at me like, get out of my way! And you could see the veins popping. And
even I'm like, in that circumstance?
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay.
We know that he's ripped because whenever he covers a hurricane or something like that, he wears that T-shirt that just shows that he's ripped.
The rippedness.
The rippedness.
Yeah.
It's all on display.
He's Euripides is what he is. It was like, okay, I'm getting out of the way. And then he goes into this office. It was like here. They have all these glass offices.
Yeah. Just so you can see what's going
right.
on.
So I'm walking out. So the CNN executive is walking me out. Baby, darling, listen, sweetheart, my agent's with me. Listen, sweetheart, we'll call you. And the guy's like, no. Don't worry about it. We'll call you. You know, it was one of those things. But I'm walking by, and he's in the glass office, and he's literally got his hands on the desk, and he's like leaning over the desk, not yelling, but like trying to persuade the executive behind the desk, the mm-hmm. other desk,
mm-hmm.
of his thought. And I thought, I think there's going to be a murder here. I'm getting out of here. The guy freaks me out. And now he's like the biggest star CNN has.
You didn't try to stop him and talk to him or anything?
No, at the time.
Because he was just moving.
At the time, he had just come over from ABC,
uh-huh.
you know, and he was just sort of starting, I guess, on the morning show there, maybe,
yeah.
at CNN. I can't remember what his first
maybe for a while.
What his first gig was when he mm-hmm. got there, but, you know, he'd gone from the network. He did Superstorm Sandy for ABC,
mm-hmm.
right? And then this was like 2013, I think, and 2014, something like that. And this was like, oh, my God, it was so... there was an intensity to it that was very...
He's got an intensity.
Yes.
The tagline for his show, in his new primetime show, is when he faces power, no one gets a pass. And you definitely feel that.
Yes.
He gets in people's faces.
Bro, you should have shown him your muscles.
Yeah.
Why didn't you do that?
Yeah, roll up your sleeve. Hey. Be like, hey, you want to arm wrestle?
Yeah, you want to... Hey, Python boy. Can I show
I
you?
Can
I show you my inchworms? Come here. Let me show you this right here. Come on. Huh?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Huh?
You could have done a pop news quiz with him and see who won that.
Yeah, I he's very smart.
He is.
He's just really intense, and he's really, you know, physically muscular, and it freaks me out. But all those guys, see, the one thing you find with those network guys is they're either like super thin, like, you know, very
slender,
slender, slim, mm-hmm. almost fun sized guys, even if they're taller. But it's like there's a whole thing, whether it's Anderson Cooper or Shep Smith or David Muir at ABC News, they're all the exact same body type.
Yeah.
They go and they shop in the teen section, you know.
I thought you were going to say the teen vampire section, because you used to say that David Muir looks like he could have been on that show or any of those vampire shows.
Yes, he could have. As a matter of fact, I have a David Muir story for this week. I'm using David Muir's hair gel now.
Got to be, right? I saw Windy City Live. You guys talked about it. It's like the cheapest thing ever,
right.
But it makes the hair really
stand up. Yes, it holds it really well. And we learned this from David Muir this week, that's what he uses. So now we're going to start using David Muir's hair gel.
It's working for you.
Yeah,
I like it.
It's going great. Thank you very much.
You've got volume on
it. Right, the got to be. Right. But the problem is that once you put it in your hands and you put it in your hair, if you put your hands together, you can't get them apart.
Ugh.
It's like super glue. Anyway, the point
Sticky.
Is this. These guys have two different body types. You got the super thin body type,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got the built, built, like, you know,
the Chris Cuomo type,
right? And then there's me. Then there's, you know, the doughy middle aged white guy, and that's only a type that they put you on a desk to make fun of you, right?
Stop.
It's only like on CNN they put all the Trump guys, like they're all doughy white guys. They're like, I don't know, I can't defend it.
I remember when we saw the ABC News guys at the conventions, the political conventions, and they're in impossibly great shape. Like, impossibly.
Yeah. That's what they work out.
You guys work so much, how do you even have time to work out?
All they do, gym tan laundry. That's all they do at the network.
It's like Jersey Shore.
Yeah. That's all they got. All right. You know what we'll do here? We're going to stop down for Judy's News. And then we found the open mic moment that I wanted to play for us.
This is great.
From this. We lost Michael Steele. We'll try to get him back on the other side. And also, former Chicago Police Superintendent Phil Klein is going to be here to make a fairly significant announcement. So we will talk about that as well. But first, Judy's News, right now at 3:30. Before we get too far away from this, I just want to ask Violetta a question.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, what? Wait, a question.
Can she invoke the two-hour rule
moment? I'm not available for questions. It's better not be personal. Yesterday, you reported that the construction on Lakeshore Drive was over because we got a press release, right, that said that?
Yes.
Okay.
IDOT had sent that out that the construction was going to be over, the road resurfacing was going to be over on Lakeshore Drive.
Which screws up all downtown, essentially. So it screws up the north end and south end of Lakeshore Drive because everything, you know, it passes through downtown. So it was between North Avenue or LaSalle, whatever they call that exit, all the way down to Monroe, right? They were resurfacing all that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And originally the two left lanes were blocked. Then most recently this week, the two right lanes were blocked in both directions.
And they said they pulled up all the stakes and everything was good to go and they were ready. Right? Isn't that what they said?
That's what they said.
Okay, they're liars, and their pants are on fire?
Yes, so there is still cones down, and some parts of that stretch still blocked off. It's going to be the two right lanes in both directions, and it's because they're working on the bridges. So although the road resurfacing is pretty much done, they also are working on the bridges at the same time.
Did the resurfacer people not know that the bridges were being done and that the cones weren't going to change?
I didn't talk to the bridge people, but it just...
Is that what it was? So the resurfacer people were like, hey, look, our job's done.
Yeah.
We're putting out a press release.
Yep.
We're going to tell everybody it's all fine now.
And they were trying to be impressive that they finished a week early.
I saw that, and I thought, this is great news.
Because they probably get a bonus for going early. That would be my guess.
Sometimes that happens in construction.
The companies that do that, they get a little sign, hey, look at us, for a week early, look at us. But it doesn't really help. I don't care about the resurfacing being done if the road is still screwed
blocked.
Up.
Yes.
So it's just a problem.
Right. So the two right lanes still scattered, some blockage going on between LaSalle and Monroe in both directions.
When does that end?
That's unclear, but originally all of the lanes were supposed to be open next week. So hopefully
because they're getting ready for the marathon.
For the marathon. So the marathon's in 9 days, so hopefully it's going to be done in 9 days.
They'll get it done by then.
Okay.
But it's still screwy today.
Yes, still things.
Screwy as hell.
Yep, and there's a Cubs game up north, so, you know,
you get all anticipatory about a change here that's positive.
Mm-hmm. And then,
it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, well.
It's like, you know, it's like the president, like today. Supreme Court nominee? No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. All right, look, on a totally separate issue here.
Thank God it wasn't personal. You have another traffic question?
Nope. That's the only traffic question I'm ever going to ask you. But don't take that personally. Now, Phil Klein is joining us. He's the former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. And he's going to make an announcement about an event that's coming up that I think is worth attending and worth talking about and worth thinking about. Because just this week, the Chicago Police Department retired the star number for Chicago Police Commander Paul Bauer, who was murdered in February here.
Yeah, very tragic.
And in an incredibly tragic turn of events, as he was leaving a meeting at City Hall downtown, and there was a radio call that there was a guy that had gotten loose from cops during a street stop, and that he saw the guy run, and he followed the guy, went down into a stairwell right at the Daly Center. And then there was a moment in which gunfire took place. All the details, there's still a criminal trial yet to come, but details pending. But he was, Paul Bauer was shot a number of times and succumbed to his injuries that night, leaving behind a wife and young daughter. And an incredible, incredible guy.
Yeah.
The sort of person that you know, you need more of, who want to get involved in law enforcement and policing, especially in Chicago. He's a Chicago guy. He's a very devout Catholic, a very a great family guy.
Great
and
day.
A guy who came up through the Chicago Police Department, you know, from patrolman all the way up to commander of the 18th District. That's a big deal. And, you know, ran the equestrian unit for a while. He did a number of great things for the Chicago Police Department and lost tragically way, way, way too soon. And this year, Phil, I'll let you pick it up from here. We're taking the Valor Awards, which are an annual event that were like a lunchtime event, and making it into an evening event.
Thank you, Ro. I appreciate you talking about that, and you hit it right on the head with Paul Bauer. He was a great father, a great husband, and a great cop, and not only did the police department lose a great cop, but the city lost a remarkable person. So we all join with the family in still mourning Paul.
Yeah. One of the highest ranking police officers lost in the line of duty in decades, but he just seemed like a cop's cop. Guys loved him no matter what the rank, it seemed, when so many people came to speak out about how he was on the job, how he treated people.
The highest compliment that the police can pay another police officer is to say he's the real police. And that's what Paul was, and nobody would have expected anything else other than him chasing that guy down that stairwell.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's an interesting moment to be a police officer anywhere in the United States, Chicago specifically, because there is such a political motivation now to, there's political motivation for everything, you know, for people to try to divide and conquer and get their way, and whether it's people who are intending to do the right thing or the wrong thing, or there's, you know, business interests, whatever it is. Yeah. But we live in this fraying environment right now, and one of the things that is happening in Chicago, as it is around the country, is a misunderstanding. That's the only way I can really put it. And you're seeing it now, you know, as this trial is going on. There's a misunderstanding of what the police job is all about. And I would say, I would submit that there are a lot of police officers, especially people like Phil, you know, because you were 38 years on the job, right? Isn't that right? Something like that?
Yeah. Yes.
That would argue that it's always kind of, there's always been a misunderstanding, but it was never as bad as it is this moment about people not getting how dangerous that job really is.
It's true, and that brings us to why we're honoring Paul posthumously on November 8th at McCormick Place. So we're having our first ever 2018 Valor Awards dinner. And like you mentioned, Ro, we always used to have a luncheon, and at these awards, we'd always honor cops that did something heroic the year before and a business person that helped the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, especially with our Get Behind the Vest program. So this year, Paul's going to be our Valor Award winner posthumously, and Miles Berger, who was one of the original board members of the Memorial Foundation and was a real big guy behind Get Behind the Vest, he's going to receive our Golden Vest Award.
It's going to be a very, very cool evening. Dennis DeYoung is going to be performing. It's a Black Tie or Blue, you know, dress blues for police officers who are going to be attending, or police, you know, people in military. They'll understand that. Mm-hmm. And it's at McCoy. It's a really cool room in It's the east wing now of McCormick. I'm sorry, the west wing of McCormick Place. Now it's on the. It's right across from the new Wintrust Arena. It's a beautiful space, and it's gonna be one of the most unique. I've been to a lot of black ties in this town. It is one of the most unique. This will be, I promise, because I'll be hosting, one of the most unique events anybody can go to. For this.
Yeah.
And we're asking the business community and the citizens of Chicago, come on out, buy a ticket, and honor Paul Bauer and Miles Berger.
I should mention this, too, because there's been so much energy and, I think, goodwill that has been expressed toward, by the business community in Chicago, toward the Chicago Police Department, the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, all the other assorted charities that do this kind of work. Because of the passing of Paul Bauer, because of the death of Paul Bauer, there was a there was a refocused energy, especially because Paul was the commander of the downtown district, and so many business people got to know him.
Oh yeah,
and got to have an interaction with him, and then to see what a real guy did. And I should say something about Phil here too. That, you know, Phil was the superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, but on, I don't know if it was your last day or close to last day of being the police superintendent, you chased down a guy on a street that had, I mean, you were in the South Loop, as I seem to recall. You had a situation where there was a guy that everybody was looking for, was running away, and you went after a guy. So
well, when you're the police, you have to be able to act no matter what your rank is.
Yeah, and I think that's an amazing testament to the men and women who do this job. And the thing that I've been honored to get to be a part of this Get Behind the Vest campaign for, you know, the last 5-6 years we've been doing it. And you meet the people who got shot in the vest, or got shot, you know, in their arms or their legs or their hands or their shoulders and stuff that, you know, where the vest didn't stop them. And there are a significant number of them in Chicago, mm-hmm. Chicago police officers who've been shot at.
Absolutely.
And it's an increasing number, and the weapons are changing. And these are people, you know, when we look at all this, and I don't want to get into the politics of any of the stuff that's going on right now. We'll let the trial handle what the trial's going to do. But, you know, when you're walking downtown, or you have friends or family that are in town, they're in the city of Chicago, that are maybe a little worried about being in the city of Chicago. I think we all know people like that. And you think about what's going to stop the person who has malign intent. It's going to be a Chicago police officer. And why we are not respectful. And even within the communities, that are so blighted by this, it's amazing to me that these people are afraid to live in their homes. They don't want to go out. They don't want to put their kids out or their grandkids out on the street. They can't. And yet they feel so compelled not to cooperate with the police because they're afraid of what's going on. So, it's just, you know, it's one of those things. So, if people want to get involved, it's cpdmemorial.org, right?
That's correct.
And the tickets are available on that website. People want to attend. It's, you can buy it for corporate. People, they can buy a table. There's sponsorships available, but if people just want to come and buy a ticket and see this thing, we're doing something too. We're giving away things in the black tie world that no one ever. There's always like a live auction at these things.
Yeah,
you know, where they're
those
giving away
fun.
Something. They're giving away a trip to something or a skybox experience, and we'll have a few things like that. But we're also going to be auctioning off Chicago police experiences, things you cannot get anywhere else. There's no other charity that you can go to and support where you're going to be able to get an experience with the Chicago Police Department like you're going to get from this. Phil, I'm going to ask you to pick. If you have a phone on the table there with you, a cell phone.
Eat me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You want to pick that? It keeps buzzing and it keeps jumping up on our up onto our. Interview here. So anyway, the point is that this is going to be a great night, and it is the Thursday night after election night. That's the way to look at this. I think everybody's going to want to drink right around then.
Certainly let loose, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, whatever you do.
It's going to be a lot of stress. This is going to be a great relief moment for a great cause and a really emotional moment, but there will be some amazing world-class international entertainment available and an open bar, which is, I think, what really sells it for a lot of us. So, Phil, thank you very much for doing this. Thank you for all of your work for not only the Chicago Police Department for 38 years, but the Memorial Foundation and for the men and women of the Chicago Police Department.
Absolutely.
And Rowan, Anna, thank you for your dedication and your support. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Phil. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Phil.
Okay, bye now.
All right. So people want to... We'll put up a link on our website.
Where'd you say it was, Ro? It's at
the McCormick Place.
That's
it's
a different
McCormick
venue
Place
that I remember it.
West, yeah. We used to do it as a lunch.
Yes, okay.
At... various places around town.
Mm-hmm.
But this is now, you know, the full gala dinner. And I think we chose to make it especially this year.
Makes sense with Commander Bauer being honored.
And the vest is such an important part of what we do. People don't realize this, that Chicago police officers have to purchase, after they get their first vest when they get out
of
the academy.
Which is issued by the department.
Right.
That's the only one.
Then you have to, out of an allowance that you get that goes to a lot of different things, you have to buy your own vest. It's a very expensive item. It's anywhere from $600 to $1,000 to buy a vest. And you know, if it's between getting brakes for your wife's car or whatever it is, I mean, a lot of cops just decide not to buy a new vest. And vests expire after 7 years.
Mm-hmm. And if they've been not stored properly, or if you've been, you know, struck by a bullet, obviously even sooner than that.
Right. So there's a whole, the vests are actually.
Wow. Was that the 2-hour rule?
Wow.
Something keeps happening.
I don't know what's going on here. I thought I had gas earlier during that interview. I wasn't quite sure what was going on.
Someone should say, excuse me.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, thank you. We've fixed it all now.
Good. It's all running perfectly now.
Anyway, the point is,
it's an amazing organization.
It is amazing.
What they do for the officers here in our town, and great way to support them.
Yes, and to help the families, as Paul Bauer's family had to be helped out, and make sure that the kids, that the family wants for nothing when it comes to the children's education and all of that. It's a really an amazing, amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing to support, but you're also going to have a really fun evening and a chance to take a ride on a police helicopter, which is, I think,
Was that one of the things that will be auctioned off?
It's one of the things to be auctioned off.
Very cool.
So, I think I might have just let the cat out of the bag there.
Are you doing the live auction as well?
I am, yes.
Okay.
Me and the G-Man, all friends of the show doing this. Mm-hmm. Greg Dellinger, famous radio personality and fun guy. He and I do these auctions at charity events throughout the year, and we're doing a you can ride on the police boat for the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole experience there. You can ride in the police helicopter for a little sunset helicopter ride.
Very cool.
And there's also an opportunity for a couple of other really unique things you can do at the police department that I can't talk about right at the moment.
Sounds like it.
Because we haven't cleared it with the mayor's office.
may or may not be according to city ordinances that are allowing it.
Yes, it may not be.
But so you would expect how many people? It sounds like it'll be a larger crowd this year.
Yeah, it's
going to
be about 700 is what we're anticipating. So it's going to be a great night, and it's going to be a beautiful room, and there's going to be things that the interactive things that happen in that room that will take your breath away.
Oh.
So it's
cool,
really
is that?
Great. So it's
the cpdmemorial.org is the website.
cpdmemorial.org.
If you want to donate, you can also very easily contribute on that site, even if you can't.
If you want to go, it's the Valor Award Gala is what you're looking for there on November 8th.
And you get to see Roe.
Yep, exactly. Cormac Place West is like, that's why people are going to go. They're seeing me right now. They're listening to me right now. It's like, what do we need that for? You get to see Dennis DeYoung, though, international recording star and legend. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. May we now check in with Violetta and find out what's happening on the roadways and if there's construction that the city's lying to us about?
They weren't lying, but there was a little bit of misunderstanding.
Oh, yeah. No, that's lying.
No, it's a misunderstanding.
I'm looking.
Right now, there are still delays on Lakeshore Drive in both directions.
Are there ever? Roconcho with Anna DeLances right here on 720 WGN. We have a lot coming up on the program as we're about to join the radio station live here in just a few minutes because the Sox lost to Minnesota up at Target Field. 2-1. Game just ended, so we'll be back on the radio coming up in just a few minutes. If people want to join us there, we would appreciate that. Mm-hmm. On the program today on the radio station, we are going to be, we've got Mr. Roper, Mr. Skilling.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Mr. Andrew Salgado going to be joining us.
I love Andrew Salgado. One of my favorites.
We have a Canarbal wagon that is going to be filled with beer because it's Oktoberfest.
Oh, right around the corner.
It's the third annual Oktoberfest anniversary, which I'm not even sure what that means.
They'll explain it, I'm sure.
I'm sure they will. And then we got just a ton of fun. Just going to be a ton of fun. And I do want to play. I'd like to play that senior moment that happened.
This is at the so puzzling.
In the Senate judicial hearing today where the committee hearing at the end when the two-hour rule was invoked and nobody seemed to know what that meant. And then they all started fighting. And it was literally a bunch of old people fighting with each other about it. It reminded me of Thanksgiving at my house.
Okay.
Is what it reminded me of. What? What'd he say? What's that? Then all of a sudden, people that don't get along but only have to be together one night out of the year.
There was a lot lost in translation there because as soon as he abruptly introduced this two-hour rule and no one seemed to know what was going on. Senator Grassley. It's like, what?
So we're going to play that for you as well. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what, I really do not know what happened there.
And when Senator Feinstein has never heard of it, she's been around for a while.
Well, she was, I think she'd heard of it. Apparently, it's like the two-hour rule is to get to the train. Honest to God, because the two-hour rule is not that they went over 2 hours. It was that these meetings have to end with 2 hours to go in the workday, which ends at 4 o'clock.
I thought it was that if you're the limit of time in the committee or subcommittee could meet. Because they weren't in they were in the Judiciary Committee meeting, not the full
Senate. But they've been there for more than 2 hours at that point. They've been meeting since this morning.
It's an arcane rule, they said, that is very rarely ever invoked. So I thought it was sort of strange.
So Biden could get to the train to get home to Delaware.
He's
go home to Delaware
train.
Every night. Yeah. So I don't know. That was, but he's not there anymore. So why do you have to have a 2 hour rule? I don't
strange.
Know. Whatever it is, it's weird, man.
It was very weird. And the reaction to it, even weirder. People are like, what?
Literally. What?
Pretty yeah. serious stuff. And no one's really sure even what we've agreed to.
No.
It was like, nope, we're done. And Grassley just sort of was like, okay, bye-bye.
All right, so let us get back on track here. I've got Judy Pilak standing by. She's going to do the WGN News. Then we'll be joined by the radio station. And then we've got Mr. Skilling going to join us immediately thereafter. Maybe I'll play some of the audio for us. This is not political. It's just wacky.
Super wacky.
Super wacky. This is WGN Radio Everywhere, streaming live from Chicago. Judy Pilak has the news at 4 o'clock. Us right here on 720
yes.
WGN. Tom Skilling joins us right now.
Happy Friday, guys.
Oh, you too, Tom.
Thank
Feels
you.
Feels good, doesn't it?
It does indeed. I know. Little nip in the air here, guys. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Covered this already a little bit.
All right. Let me say something here.
Yes.
I know I say that all the time, yeah. and people don't let me say things on my own show, but I'm going to say something anyway. Judy Pilak, earlier today,
uh-huh.
we were discussing this weather situation,
yes,
weekend weather. She used the word 40 degrees.
Uh-huh.
She used the word 40 degrees to describe a low for this weekend. And as you can imagine, I screamed.
No.
I screamed like a little girl.
He wasn't,
he wasn't
ready to hear it, Tom.
No.
He just
seen
wasn't.
Seen a spider. That's what I sound. Which
Anna,
is,
can you conceive of this?
No. As soon as it came up, I anticipated it. I didn't even use the other F word.
I know.
No. Tom, tell him what that word is tonight, overnight. What were you going to have?
Oh, yeah. 30s.
Frost.
30s out in the
frost?
Suburbs.
Yes.
Yeah,
frost.
See, okay. Now, I made,
yes.
I made
frost?
This point. See, I made the What? See, and I made this point.
Yes.
Which was. That you need here. I hate when the spray of the fall plays with us like this. It's like a little deal. I need a hard freeze to kill the bugs because all we're doing now is encouraging them to move inside.
And that does happen.
All the bugs out there, like centipedes and
right, and they all decide they're like, oh, we got to, it's time to move inside.
And then we mentioned vermin, which is the other thing.
Sure,
that freaked me out even more.
Well, it's kind of like an athlete. You know, Mother Nature comes at these cool spells in builds on them. And so it takes practice. So this is kind of a first shot at the cool down, and there'll be others to come, I'm sure. But at any rate, it won't be in the city. Won't be any frost in the city tonight, so that's good.
Okay. See, I don't know.
I think you're asking for a frost.
I think I'm asking for
I'm
a frost,
sure.
and then it bounced back to the 80s. Although I did notice something on a tree.
What'd you notice on
that
the tree?
That kind of freaked me out. I never noticed this before.
Uh-huh.
That the, listen to Tom.
Multicolored leaves?
No, like, uh-huh. Tom's like,
I know.
Yeah,
where
right.
are we going with
all
this?
Right.
Here it comes. So I got this tree in front of my house.
Uh-huh.
And I'm staring at it.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
it's kind of the one that's over my deck. So I'm looking at it. And I've noticed that the stem of the leaf
uh-huh.
that goes that attaches it to the tree
uh-huh.
has turned red. But the leaf is still green. I've never seen that before. The stem is always like, sort of a green, light green, kind of color.
Well, just like Mother Nature, that is kind of warming up to the notion of cooling off, the leaf is warming up to the notion it's going to change color. And it's just starting in
it starts in the stems. Pieces. Yeah, and it's like the stems. I mean, it's dramatic. I'd never noticed this before, but then I thought, oh, it's all sad at the same time too, because it's this thing. And then I set a mantra to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that I'm not sounding too crazy right now, but I think I'm crazy. I said this mantra. Well, I'll have to say goodbye to the leaf, but it will be back next spring.
That's
well,
very
sensitive. Well, saying that to myself.
Very nice.
I like that.
But it won't
very
be the same
nice.
Leaf. This one leaf, I'm looking, and all of a sudden, I feel like a grand mal depression coming on, thinking about this leaf changing colors.
I like your connection to nature, though, Ro.
I think I'm very connected. It's very. That analytical mind is what it is, you know. He doesn't just look at things.
No.
He wants to understand the mechanisms driving the whole thing,
That's so true.
Yeah, and I'm very impressed by that. Had I known, I would have invited one of my friends from Botanic Garden, Chicago Botanic Garden.
Oh, the best.
To come in here and explain. I was afraid you were going to ask me why this is happening, and I'm afraid my knowledge of leaf physiology is not such that I can tell you.
Arborism?
Yes,
arborism.
But we do know in the weather that the leaves and trees and plant life do tell us. They signal what's going on.
They do.
And what's about to come.
They're a proxy indicator, if you will, of seasonal change, which is all part of the scheme of things here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we notice when we've had late springs that they know, the flowers know, and the trees know. They're known not to bloom yet.
Yeah, absolutely, Anna. And you know what's interesting to me? I never worry about getting one of these cool spells early, because it seems like the years that start, you know, with harsh cool spells in autumn, and we all think, oh, brother, this must be the sign the winter is going to be barbaric.
Yeah.
But it seems when you get these out of the way early on that the winter that follows is not as horrible as you might have suspected just from the early nature of the cool spell.
Not ready for it.
Yeah.
Just not ready for it. Although today has got one.
I thought you said you were ready for it.
No, not ready. I'm not ready for any of this. Tom, please. I have to train myself into accepting it. And I look outside right now, and we're in new surroundings here, so I have to adjust myself to the four seasons.
I don't think I've ever seen the feed on CLTV. Isn't that something? I work here, Jason, to the CLTV operation, and I saw you this first time that you're shot in the new studio with that beautiful. Downtown view back behind you.
Isn't
in the
it gorgeous?
Window. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's something. We overlook the Navy Pier and the rocks and the river and the Michigan Avenue or the Lakeshore Drive Bridge.
Oh,
it's beautiful. And the thing is, though, I turn around, I look here, and I'm trying to figure out. It's been such a beautiful summer up here,
there's
been
fabulous.
So many sunny days, the city sparkles and the river sparkles and everything. Today it's a little rainy, and I'm like, this is what you get in the fall. But yet, you look, this is, to me, this is when Chicago's at work. This kind of weather, when it's this color in the fall and in the spring, you get this, and through the winter, when the sun is behind the white sky,
right.
Never quite sure what, the streets are a little wet. And that, to me, is like, I remember coming back, if I'd land back in Chicago when I was in college, and I missed Chicago so much, and I'd come back here. And it was like a day like this, it was like, I didn't care. This is the most beautiful day to me.
No, it
because
really
it's
is.
Like, this is like Chicago at work, Chicago broad shoulders, Chicago being what Chicago is.
Absolutely. And, the wonderful thing about it is the weather starts really moving. There are fast-moving transitions. And so you don't get buildups of pollution. You have lovely, clear, haze-free skies. So when you get that blue sky with those little cottony autumn cumulus against it, it's beautiful. A beautiful thing,
And then Chicago's
add fall
beautiful.
Colors to it.
Right.
It is,
and even in this time of year, this is where things are really people are the streets are still bustling. You're getting ready for, and then when the Christmas lights hit, right after you get it to November, and then the streets are bustling on Michigan Avenue.
Oh, and those little lights go up on Michigan Avenue.
And
people
that's are beautiful. I just love
shopping
that.
And doing
too.
Stuff. It's great. It's the January that I really can't stand.
February for me.
Well, and that makes perfect sense biologically, because that's when we have short days, and that bothers more people than others. I used to think that people were just complaining to complain, but I'm thoroughly convinced now that this whole notion of sad is real.
Oh,
you know?
Right it's real.
And that some people are more impacted by this than others.
Yeah.
You know?
Me.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Bill Snyder's like that. Bill gets down when this happens, and so do a lot of other folks.
Does he take a vacation to try to get through it?
He does.
Is he one of those guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Goes to Florida or something. And
I know. He goes to, even that, but he goes to Arizona.
The days are still shorter. Well, Arizona's a little interesting because the days are, because of the time shift there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The days are a little, let's see, I'm trying to think. No, it's winter mountain, so it's a mountain time.
Yes.
And so so the sun goes down a little earlier there than it would if they stayed on Pacific time. But it's better, but I'm telling you, the best thing I ever did for myself was go spend a week as far south on the earth as I could get,
mm-hmm.
as I could find, because I got 1 week. I know not everybody could do that, but maybe, you know, you save a few bucks and you get a rowboat and you just take a rowboat down. Whatever you got to do. You could drive to South America from Chicago if you really wanted to. Your car would come back bullet riddled and there would be a snake living in it. You'd still be able to do it. But that was because just get a week is really something special.
Right. By the way, you mentioned that. I got a picture today from Mary Gady. Mary's an environmental consultant I work with on climate change talks, and she was former head of the Illinois EPA and the regional head of the national EPA here. But she's taking a trip down to Patagonia on the south tip of South. And I thought of you when I saw the picture. It's beautiful.
About doing that because you can get on a boat and you can go. And this is not crazy expensive. It's amazing because Argentina, the economy in Argentina is in the pooper. So you could get this stuff for like $5.
Go a long way.
Get on a boat and go to the South Pole for a day and then come back. It's like crazy. All right, listen, we got to run, but I want to say something. Congratulations to Tom Skilling. Tribune did a story, was it yesterday or the day before, about how if you can't talk about politics anymore, talk about the weather, and they used a picture of Tom Skilling. And at some point in the first 5 minutes of the conversation, invoke Tom Skilling's name,
and
that solves all problems.
Really?
So congratulations to you.
Does.
I don't know if you saw that story, but go look at that story.
I did not see it. I missed that. You know, I was out at Argonne yesterday. One of the researchers there with whom I've worked for many years, Doug Sisterson, was retiring. And that's a fast. I love going out there because our national laboratories are just incredible. Mm-hmm. The collective intellect in those facilities is kind of humbling. But it was fun to see it. And there's a lot of construction underway. So I'm glad to see that. We're supporting scientific research from which all kinds of new technologies will emerge.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I know. There's hope for
Humanity.
Yes. There is.
Not much, but there is some. All right. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. A great weekend, guys. All right.
All right. Violetta, what's happening on the roadways?
Right now, outbound Eisenhower heavy at almost 2 hours from the old post office to 390. Heavy delays between Damon and the Reagan Tollway. Inbound trip will cost you 1 hour, 10 minutes. Over on Lakeshore Drive, we're seeing some heavy delays building. There is still some right lanes blocked in both directions between North Avenue and Monroe for some bridge work. Right now, it is 50 minutes Monroe to Hollywood, about 40 minutes Hollywood to Monroe. Over on the Kennedy, it is about 1 hour, 20 minutes either way between O'Hare in downtown. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Violetta Padrumetic in WGN Traffic Central.
You know the only thing better than a car with 0 miles? A car dealer with 0 miles. Introducing the new Grossinger Toyota North. We're under new ownership and starting fresh with how we do business. That means zero tolerance for giving you anything less than great service, excellent attention to detail, and a fantastic selection of new Toyotas. Lease a new RAV4 for just $289 a month with zero due. Visit us at 7225 North Cicero Avenue or GrossingerToyotaNorth.com.
Preventing women's health issues starts early. Girls from age 9 through 26 should get the HPV vaccine to help prevent cervical, vaginal, and anal cancer. Those diseases can be caused by strains of the virus, with approximately 32,000 cases each year in the United States. Research suggests that protection is strongest the earlier the vaccine is initiated. I'm Judy Pilak with Health Matters for Women, sponsored by North Shore University Health System, providing expert, convenient women's health care.
Come on out to Fox Home Center and I'll sit for a live broadcast of House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini. Enjoy breakfast and refreshments, live music, and goodie bags for the first 300 attendees. Saturday, October 20th, 7 to 10 a.m. Details at WGNRadio.com/events.
At Children's Cancer Research Fund, we believe a world without childhood cancer is possible, but it takes all of us. And whether it's developing a groundbreaking treatment or helping a girl realize her dream, everyone has a role in a child's cancer journey.
People ask me how I keep a smile on my face. It's easy when you have so many great people that take care of you and support you.
To find out how you can be a part of a child's cancer journey and a part of the cure, visit childrenscancer.org, a public service message from Children's Cancer Research Fund.
Show with Anna DeBlantis, yes. Right here on 720 WGN.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Yes.
It feels like this has been an awfully long week.
I had not noticed.
I did.
Let's
oh, boy.
Right into it. Michael Steele joins us. He is, as we now know, from all of the promotion I've seen on the series in the XM, Man of Steel!
That's him.
Got his own podcast now called Man of Steel.
You getting good reaction so far, Michael?
It's been good. It's been good.
I am still I'm still waiting on my invitation, but I'm sure at one point I'll make it on to the Man of Steel.
Only if you talk like that.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about what we have just seen here.
Oh boy.
Over the last day. Were you surprised that Jeff Flake held up the process here just slightly today?
To be honest, yeah. I thought for sure when he put out his statement this morning that he was going to vote for Kavanaugh, that this was pretty much done. I had surmised after Lindsey Graham had a hissy fit yesterday that the Republican caucus, that was basically a sort of existential Trumpian call to arms by Graham to the rest of the committee and certainly to those senators who weren't there, that they better get behind this nominee. We're going to die on this hill, right? Because this is all about the Supreme Court seat. And if we have to lose the Senate or the House for a cycle or two, it's worth it. So that was pretty much what yesterday was about. Today, with this announcement, you thought that pretty much was cemented. And then this afternoon, I think what happened is that Senator Flake sat there and listened to a recap by Democratic senators and also his Republican colleagues, and just could not in good conscience go through it. So he had to figure out a way out, and he did. And it's actually the best possible solution because, okay, we get the committee, get it out of committee, so that vote's done. Now the pressure's on to actually get an FBI investigation done, and I think that's where we need to be.
They're saying they want it to be limited in scope, take about a week, and I would imagine they'll try to get this vote done then. Do you think this new process of getting this investigation done by the FBI jeopardizes Kavanaugh's chances even more? Are they less likely if you wait a week?
I think his chances were jeopardized after that performance yesterday. I mean, I've had the pleasure of being with and getting to know Judge Kavanaugh over the years in various circles here in town. And I sat there with my jaw on the floor with that opening statement. Not only was it brutally partisan for a judge, it showed a complete level of just, I don't know what, I mean, I get being angry, And I, you know, totally understand that. But it was personal. He personalized it. The exchange with Senator Klobuchar, where, you know, if he knew anything about this woman, her background, and she even told him, I come from a family with an alcoholic father, to then push back on her about her drinking, I was like, whoa, dude, what is your issue?
Yeah, that was really bad form.
Yeah, and it just made it, it really set a different tone. I think for the senators that he needed to be with him, namely Collins and Murkowski, that did not help. So I think if nothing else,
can I throw something else here?
Investigation will help.
Yeah, yep. Can I throw something else here, too, that he did yesterday that troubled me in his presentation? Listen, he was very passionate. He was very, you know, you had to believe one or the other. It wasn't like he gave some wiggle room to her story that allowed it to ever be him in that story. And now the, you know, the conventional wisdom, at least I think amongst Republicans on Capitol Hill, and maybe at the White House, is, well, something bad happened to her, but it wasn't Kavanaugh, right? That's the logical out. The problem here is that Judge Kavanaugh, who wishes to become Justice Kavanaugh, misrepresented the evidence that has been presented. He said that there are letters that have been presented that say from her friend, from the woman that was at the party, that says that it didn't happen. And that is not what the letter said. The letter said that she does not recall that particular party. That's a very different thing than this party didn't happen, that event didn't happen. And he brought that, and so it was not, he was not specific to the evidence in front of him. And I get it. This is a partisan process. This is political. But at the same time, he wants to be the, you know, one, he's in the star chamber, right? One of the most important people.
Well, the other side of that is not only what you described is the way it is in terms of the letter, but she also said that she believes Dr. Ford. And she said, I don't recall that, but I believe what she's saying, which she completely skipped over, as did Republicans in their inquiry. But the fact of the matter is that you're going to have an FBI investigation. This idea of doing a limited scope investigation is good on paper, but you know what happens when the FBI starts digging into stuff. That's going to change. And I seriously believe that there's a there. And it's well within the realm of possibility that it's already been established that he was a nasty drunk. There's too many pieces of corroborating evidence on that point alone about his character and personality when he drank. And I think we saw a flash of it. I had a friend of mine send me a text that, oh my God, that reminded me of my dad when he would drink. That look in his face, the flash of anger out of nowhere. And so that's an impression that he's left on the minds of a lot of people, especially women, who, you know, have seen that look and have been in the presence of that type of a person. And I think it presents a real problem. So
this would really
not surprise me if we get through this and he withdraws or is withdrawn. So
the network, it's amazing how quickly this is all moving. Because, you know, yesterday morning, I thought for sure this thing was it was over for him. And then by the time he was done yesterday afternoon, I'm like, wow, he saved it. And now I think they've given enough time and breathing room here for people to stop and on Capitol Hill and think about what the ramifications are here. Because writ large, the women in the United States who've had this kind of an experience, where they've had it, you know, their friends or their family members or, God forbid, their children have had this kind of an experience, look at this very differently than men do. And there's, you know, there's already kind of a bad book on the president himself, and now if you add another guy who's got this, and it goes to temperament. It's kind of gone away from, because I think a reasonable thing is, are you really going to hold somebody responsible for something that happened 36 years ago, after, you know, living this incredible life and rising to this level? But he's a Washington insider. You know, he's a guy that it's interesting how many people all know each other who are in big jobs in Washington, who all came from Montgomery County, Maryland, right? Or, you know, went to Georgetown Prep. You know, you're learning that like the whole humanity went to Georgetown Prep. I mean, you grew up around this too. You get it. And so it's like a circumstance where we're now looking at whether his temperament makes the case. But the other question that was on the table for this is, for this week, is Rod Rosenstein going to get fired? We got about a minute left. What is your thought on that?
Rod Rosenstein will be there until probably the end of the year. But Trump wants to fire him. He will fire him. And I suspect it'll be after the election. It won't happen before. Notice it and think carefully of how they are talking about Rod Rosenstein being fired. They talk about it in the context of it happening before the election. No, that's not going to happen. But no one's asking the question, what happens on, you know, in November, I mean, late November, early December, January of next year? That's a different story. And my bet is he's gone. And you're going to see probably Jeff Sessions not far out the door behind him, because at that point, all hands are on deck to shut the Mueller investigation down. That's what it's like. That's the only big thing left on the table after the election.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I just told myself I had a minute left, but I'm going to drag one more minute out of this because I saw something I want to ask you about. You're the former head of the Republican National Committee, right? You came there at a very important moment for Republican Party. You were there to bring in this, you know, the Tea Party wave in 2010, the midterm wave. And then you left, and a lot of Republicans and conservatives, and especially on the Trump side, have turned against you. You were on that show that we love so much, The Circus, on Showtime a couple of weeks, two episodes ago.
Great show.
Last episode, they had Steve Schmidt, right? Isn't that his name? The guy that ran the campaign for John McCain, right, in 2000.
All right.
And they showed him going to a Trump rally in West Palm Beach, Florida, and getting run out of there, screamed at by Republicans. They chased him out like they're chasing Frankenstein in the end of the 1933 classic, right? Does that happen to you?
No, it doesn't. And I think largely because I'm a 6'4" black man.
That's why. That's true. That's true. I was hide behind Michael when we're out. Yeah. I just stand behind.
Hit him first.
Yeah. I go. That's what. Is there going to be a problem? Here's Michael.
Well, he's a man of steel.
I think we just break it down like that. If you want to dance with me, come on and dance, baby. Let's dance because I got dancing shoes on, and I'm very happy to plant them anywhere on your body you need them to be planted.
Wow. Yeah. Well, he's imposing, but he also has that. He has got a very Michael does a very sweet smile though too.
He does.
It's very disarming.
So disarming.
Yeah.
I'll smile at you first, but I will not have a problem.
Yeah.
But did you not have a problem helping you get on the floor?
Did you see that? Did you see that episode? Did you see what happened to him?
Well, I mean, and that's you know, part of that's driven by having the cameras there and people want to show off a little bit. Part of that is a reaction to Steve. Steve has left the party. I have not. Steve has left the party. He rejected the Republican Party, and so that plays into it as well. I've been blessed that way. I've not encountered it because I just don't look for it. And like you said, I'll smile at you and typically just kind of walk
pretty
away from
disarms,
crazy because.
It's not worth it.
If you get up in my face too much, I will have a word or two for you. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks.
Have a good weekend.
You got it, guys.
All right. Bye.
Take care.
Man of Steel! Richard Roper is here.
I just love hearing that. That's one of my favorite songs, Born on the Bayou. And my favorite part is that it's written by John Fogerty, who's from Michigan.
Oh.
I always love
how does that work
like,
out?
Going on the bayou. Go,
yeah.
go.
Yeah, love you got to do right? what you got to do.
Hey, yeah.
And you got to write a song. Yeah.
There you go.
Sometimes you don't write what you live, you write what you think you could have lived. yes. Anyway, the point we have here, I just wanted, this is breaking entertainment news.
Ooh, yeah.
Breaking entertainment news, Anna DeVlantis has breaking entertainment news.
This just in, Kanye West will appear on SNL this weekend, subbing in for Ariana Grande, who's going through some emotional, she's upset after the death of her friend. Oh, so he is going to fill in, and they've shown some pictures because... he's got the Make America Great hat on in the, I guess they rehearse on Friday. Is that standard?
And what is his shirt? Do you notice what's on his shirt?
Sure. Let's take a look at a little shirt here.
Colin Kaepernick. He's got Colin Kaepernick on his shirt and a Make America Great Again hat.
It kind of sums up the last couple of days, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It can't make sense anymore. It doesn't make sense.
It's okay. He's an artist. He's mixing metaphors is what he's doing.
Yeah.
He can do that.
Oh,
they're also wearing Yeezys.
Okay. Yeah, of course, because he's got to go sell those.
But the other people are, too. That one actor, I don't know his name.
Aren't you surprised that the Smurf organization hasn't sued him over that? Isn't that basically the same design? Smurf feet and Yeezys?
He's got his new album out, too, Yandy. So that's coming out. He'll be promoting that.
Yeezy Yandy Yoni.
Not Gandhi, Yandy.
Yandy.
Spelled very similarly, but with a Y.
Oh, God.
Do you think they're fitting, like, even the featured players on SNL? Okay, you're going to be Lindsey Graham. You're going to be that white head guy. You'll be the
Rachel.
90s.
Someone's going to be the prosecutor woman.
Oh, yeah. It premieres tomorrow night. But this is a weird last-minute substitution.
Kind of is, isn't it?
Was he going to be? I guess he was going to be the musical guest, though.
Oh,
right?
Okay. Maybe so he kind of moved him over to be. Huh. But she would have been the musical guest too. Was she?
Sometimes people do both, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But because they had Glover, who looks just
Donald
like
Glover.
Just like that rapper,
Childish Gambino.
Mm-hmm.
It's a well. Anyway, it's interesting. This will be, I think, highly rated.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness.
All right, let's talk about people going to the movies this weekend.
Yeah, people need that escapism, right? I mean, I got to say, the last couple of days, it was nice for me, even personally, to just slip into the cool, dark embrace of a movie theater every few hours, and you really can't escape. So I want to talk to folks, and particularly parents out there, about a movie called Smallfoot. Now, Anna's always asking me, and everybody, all the parents, because there really aren't that many children's movies. You know, there's these big animated movies, but it's been, maybe 3 months since Incredibles 2.
Or children's movies. Movies that are enjoyable for everybody, the adults too.
And this is actually a Warner Brothers animated film, and I think the premise of this is absolutely ingenious. Here's why it's called Smallfoot. It's set in this village high above the clouds that is populated entirely by Yeti, Sasquatches, abominable snow people, if you will. Mm-hmm. And in their community, they believe the Smallfoot, which would be the human being, is a legend. That some have cited, but none have ever captured. So they're living in their community where they think everything's wonderful. You're never supposed to question anything. And then one of the small feet, voiced by Channing Tatum, happens to see a plane crash high in the mountains. And he comes running back to the village. I saw a small foot. And they're, you're banished from the kingdom. You're crazy. And it just goes from there. It's very sweet. Honestly, I'm giving it 3 stars. I think it's maybe 90 minutes. And the voice casting fantastic.
Me
too. Get you going. A couple of good songs from that Zendaya. She's a pop star. Uh-huh. That people enjoy her.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned Channing Tatum. James Corden voices a travelogue host who's trying to stage a Bigfoot sighting, and he's got his producer trying to get his producer in the costume when he sights a real Bigfoot. So the Bigfoot and the Smallfoot discover each other. And also playing maybe the biggest, most purple Yeti of them all is LeBron James. And I think we have a clip of his voice work here.
There should be enough rope.
Should be.
We don't know exactly how far down it is. It's also all the rope we have.
Okay, if we're gonna do this, we gotta do it fast. Wonky, tell him the plan.
Oh boy.
Listen up. Pull once to go lower, twice to stay put, 3 times to come up. 4 pulls means you've reached the bottom, and it's safe for us to come down.
Wait, what was the second one?
Look, it doesn't really matter.
Your safe word is mystical creature.
That's more of a phrase, really?
Miss you, you out here?
Uh-oh.
They're making their biggest.
Really
they're planning their adventure for him to go see the Smallfoot. And you know, the LeBron James casting is great on a couple of levels. First, because he's really funny, but then also you get LeBron James to show up at all the premieres, so you get like a ton of fun.
I gotta say though, when they cast him in Trainwreck, And I thought, like, the first scene, he comes into train wreck, like all athletes when they come into a scene, takes you out of the movie, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then he immediately, this is how good he is, he immediately puts you back in the movie. You immediately get, oh, it's LeBron. Oh, but he's meeting with this guy. Oh, that is his friend. And he sells it.
Yes.
He's a really talented, you got to go back to LeBron when he first, you know, became an NBA star.
Mm-hmm.
And he did those commercials where he played three generations of himself.
Yeah. Very
He's
true.
He's got talent.
He's
sure.
really talented.
Yeah, and you mentioned Trainwreck, and the genius of that, of course, was that LeBron was the needy friend, always trying to get time with Bill Hader. Instead of, you figured it'd be the other way around, so he kept saying, like, call me later. I want to make sure you got home safe. And, like, are you ever going to come to Cleveland? Because remember, he was just about to go to the Cavaliers at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Which,
and Bill
by
Hader's
the way,
like, no, I'm not doing that.
It was believable because Bill Hader was a doctor, right? Wasn't he? He was like a knee surgeon.
Yeah.
Right? And he was the guy. And those, and it is, I have seen this in real life where the doctors turn out to be, all the athletes all want to be around the doctors because they're hypochondriacs too, and they're worried about their careers, and they and the athletes are constantly calling the knee doctors.
That's
just
hilarious.
To keep them close.
Yeah.
That's very true. So it's so you like this three
stars. You can enjoy it, and the parents can take the kids, and there's nothing racy or anything about it. You know,
why is it that Warner Brothers, that, you know, Disney, I get, because Disney has been making children's films, you know, since before World War II, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Warner Brothers was the biggest animation factory. Basically, for, you know, all those cartoons that people love, the Bugs Bunny stuff,
Looney Tunes,
was all from the movie theaters, right? And then they continued on. And it just seems interesting to me that they weren't able to keep up in this when the animated feature became big. They tried to do some stuff with computerized Bugs Bunnies, and that didn't, well, Space Jam, of course.
Yeah.
But those kinds of things never really took off.
No, they didn't. They missed it. And, you know, it's interesting because the animation is good. It doesn't have the vibrancy you get usually from a Pixar film.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost thought it was a lost opportunity because you think about the abominable snow creature in the old Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer TV special back in the 60s. And this, I thought this could have been really fun if they had done it like in stop, you know, that kind of stop motion animation, but that's tough to carry and make people stay with for a 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
But they do definitely have some Looney Tunes inspired slapstick comedy bits, you know.
It's fun.
Rolling down hills and all that kind of
stuff.
The
characters look super cute.
They really are. I think
really.
I think some kids will be asking for some
the merchandise.
Merch for Christmas. Some, you know, I mean, a stuffed Yeti, come on.
Why not?
And I even have to forgive LeBron. I forgave LeBron when went to Miami wearing a tablecloth, and he had a special, and he went to Miami, took his talents to South Beach instead of coming here to Chicago, because remember, we thought he was going to be coming here. And then I embraced him when he went back to Cleveland, and now he's going to LA, and I just have to forgive him because I think he does so many, he stepped into the role of being America's athlete so well.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. There's some, people can check it out. Incredible footage of like the school that he built and these kids who on their first day, I mean, literally built the school, paid for every nickel of it. And these kids come into the school the first day realizing that's their school, and they're like 1,000 Christmases. They're so happy to see the beautiful, beautiful facility.
Amazing guy. Good for him.
Amazing guy. And he's very, a very good entertainer. All right, we'll find out if that Kevin Hart, Tiffany Haddish movie is any good that they've been promoting like it's going out of business, Night School, and then The Sisters Brothers, which is a confusing title, but it makes a lot of sense when you find out what it is. First, let's check in with Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour in the newsroom.
A cyber attack at Facebook. Dan Hampton joins the Steve Cochran Show Monday morning at 7:10. He'll wrap up the Bears-Bucks game. Could be great.
Richard Roper is here. 3 stars. For Smallfoot, great thing for the parents and the kids to go to. Kids starting as young as
5.
All right, there we go.
Great.
Because you bring them
that.
Under 5, they're going to do something bad in the seats.
Oh,
well, they just fall asleep. It's not worth the price of admission. You waste your money.
Take them for a drive.
Night School. Kevin Hart, Tiffany Haddish.
Hey, Kevin Hart, this is such a departure for him. He's going to play the earnest, very chatty guy whose own deceptions get him into a whole lot of trouble. That's never happened before in a Kevin Hart movie. It's every Kevin Hart movie. So I did like the premise of this. So it's about a bunch of adults who have to go to night school to get their GED. So each one has a little story, you know, of why they're finally getting their high school diploma. And Tiffany Haddish, who's terrific, plays their teacher. And Kevin Hart is duplicitous. And then, you know, Rob Riggle, who we like, you know, he plays kind of a goofy dad who's trying to get his GED. And then there's an immigrant and there's a housewife. It's basically the Breakfast Club, only it's adults and it's a late night diner and it's a comedy. It's got its moments. It's very slapsticky and shticky and, you know, physical types of humor. You know, it's the kind of movie where a guy falls off the roof of a school and his arm is bent behind his head in a way that your arm can't be bent. And then someone looks down and sees that and is so sickened by it, they vomit. And then the vomit lands on the guy. That gives you the idea of the level of humor in that. I did like some of it. And I love the cast, but I have to say 2.5 stars because the material just isn't there for this movie, ultimately. And I really wish Kevin Hart would get better material and take more chances because he does keep playing the same guy. It is kind of funny because they make a lot of jokes about his height.
You know. Right, which kind of works. The Sisters Brothers, I got 10 seconds left here. So it's
2.5 stars. It's a Western. Joaquin Phoenix, Jake Gyllenhaal, and the great John C. Reilly from Chicago. Yeah. Violent, bloody Western. Well made, but again, kind of falls off the rails plot-wise. So 2.5 for that one.
2.5 stars for that. Yeah. And it's actually these guys named Sisters, right?
Yeah, they're the sisters and they're brothers. So there you go.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, you've seen the movie. You're good.
Yeah, okay. See, we just saved you a bunch of money right there.
Nice.
No worries. All right, we got the Judy's News coming away in 2 minutes. Richard Roper is here.
There we go.
He is.
I worked it all out right there.
Good job.
Yeah, everybody in their places.
Yep. You know what it's time for here before we get to the Carnival Wagon. Before we get to, we got live music from our very dear friend, Andrew Salgado.
Oh, wow. He's so good.
Yeah, nice.
He's going to be here. We also have Blackhawks tickets to give away, my friends.
Okay.
Opening night a week from Sundays.
Kind of a big deal.
Wow. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Against an original six opponent, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Very nice.
They'll be at the United Center. And the whole The whole thing starts with a pre-pregame starring yours truly and Mr. Steve Cochran.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm told he does the morning show here at WGN. Is that correct?
Great guy.
Fine job.
The Cochran.
So we're going to be doing that and having a lot of fun at the event center next a week from Sunday.
I can't believe that. That's awesome.
Got to check out that new restaurant that's in the atrium area there. Queenie's.
Yep. Cool. I think we're going to be in our normal spot where we normally do our stuff at the
Stop by and
Goose
say hello
Island.
To you guys.
Yeah.
Or at least to Steve. Will you accept visitors, Ro? Are you okay with that?
I do not accept visitors. I don't.
It'll be fun to see you in Cochrane or hear you guys out there.
Yeah, that's cool.
It'll be fun. And it's great. And, you know, hockey's back. And it's just
great.
You know, I love it.
Yeah. I bet it's going to be a big bounce back year for the Hawks, too.
Yeah.
They're hungry again.
They certainly are saying they're hungry. That is for sure.
Fans are hungry, too.
It's going to be, I'll tell you something, though, the West is going to be tough. But it's going to be, it's always fun. It is always. Listen, I was out there when they were winning six games a year.
It's true, you were.
And I was okay with it. I was the only guy. They would literally, they would stop the game and they go, hold on, we're taking a timeout. Because he's going to, Ro went to the bathroom.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
stuck with him.
Yeah. My daughter, oh my God, I had to explain, you know, one of my daughters as a young girl, one of her first questions is, why do those ladies dress like that?
The ice cream.
And I had to say, because they want to become hockey wives. And it was there was a term that he used to use at the United Center for, you know, because there are some women who get like, hockey dolled up.
Yeah, very dolled up to go to the game.
Right, and now it became, but you know, like once they started winning, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But back then,
once Patrick Sharp joined the team, it was a really big deal.
Yeah, it became a really big deal.
Really, really big
deal. I mean, these were the professionals, the women who were trying to marry the Bulls, and then trying to marry the, you know, there's a certain class of woman in Chicago that finds their way to sporting events when the teams are hot. Or to business lunches when the businesses are hot, whatever. That's, you know, they kind of want to be around success, right? I mean, there's that.
Who doesn't?
This is not who I'm talking about.
No.
These are the ladies. These are young women who would just get dolled up because they wanted to be with a hockey player because they were so damn sexy.
Okay. Mm.
And there was a term that was used. It would be a derisive term that would keep us
I wouldn't use it in 2018.
All off the Supreme Court.
Number 5.
Oh, that's right. It's
the top 5 on the Thanks, Richard. Country. What a save. In hockey, do they have saves?
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokon Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Get on
with it.
Okay.
Number five.
During a photo op with the president of Chile, President Trump, our president, was asked about the turn of events regarding Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Is he going to stand by? What's going to happen here?
I thought her testimony was very compelling, and she looks like a very fine woman to me. Very fine woman. And I thought that Brett's testimony, likewise, was really something that I haven't seen before. It was incredible. It was an incredible moment, I think, in the history of our country. But certainly she was a very credible witness. She was very good in many respects.
All right. Now, it was incredibly judicious.
Totally.
And presidential.
Not what you expected.
Now, he was sitting next to the president of Chile, who was showing us a picture of the American flag when they came to him.
Uh-huh.
When they came and they jumped in on this, and there was a picture of an American flag with a little box around it, like a little box in the middle of the flag, like highlighting something. And I don't know, like in Chile, I'm like, is it like a bullet hole? What is it that they're showing us here? I don't know what it is. Anyway, the point is that this was one of the most presidential kind of moments I've seen of him. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, all right, now what's he thinking? Because I just don't think he comes to that naturally, right? Mm-hmm. None of us do.
No.
So why was he like, why? Who got to him? Do they now have a shock collar? Do they have a tranquilizer dart? What are they using?
A little earpiece like broadcast news. Whisper commands to him.
And meanwhile, he's sitting next to the president of Chile trying to explain the American flag.
And by the way, Chile is at the heart of the United States. And the best proof of this is the American flag, and there is the Chilean flag right at the very heart of the U.S. flag.
He didn't even have a fake laugh from the president right there.
What is he saying?
I think basically he didn't know what was going on at this time. I think he'd been doing other things. He wasn't watching it. Mm-hmm. Did not realize that Jeff Flake had interrupted. There was Flakus interruptus here of the Supreme Court, and that you're just telling me now that they're going to take a couple more days, and he was trying to process it. And that's why he was so cool and calm and collected.
Yeah.
And also, when am I going to get rid of Chili guy over here? Love Chili's, by the way. Baby back, baby back, baby back.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gee. He probably does like Chili's.
It's possible he thinks that's who he's meeting with.
There's a Chili's there was a pretty big Chili's mm-hmm. in Times Square. I'm sure he's been past.
Oh, mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
Bullet. Number four.
Okay. All right. Now, I want to say that government and sausage, they always say, you don't want to see the two things being made, right?
Sure.
There was a moment today after, at the end of this very strange thing that happened, right? So if you're just joining us or not sure exactly what happened here, let me just recap it for you. The Senate Judiciary Committee met. They were going to vote on moving the Kavanaugh nomination out to the full Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last minute, they thought, as of this morning, everybody got up to grandstand and do, what they do, what senators do. They bloviate. And the most important vote on the thing was the outgoing Arizona Senator Jeff Flake. He's the most important vote.
Yep.
Because he could have actually kept it from going out to the floor of the Senate. Could have killed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He agreed this morning that he was going to vote for Kavanaugh, and he sent a letter saying as much. So there wasn't any drama left. It was just everybody bloviating. And then all of a sudden, right before they're going to take the vote, everybody starts to walk around, mill away, go back. And Flake, who had been confronted by two women out in the hallway earlier in the morning,
mm-hmm.
as he was getting on an elevator.
Very emotional.
Decided he's got to do something here. Mm. He's not going to just, he doesn't just want to rubber stamp this.
Right.
He, Jeff Flake, outgoing senator and a guy who has been, pretty dramatic critic here of the president, decides he's going to cut a deal. And the deal is this. I'll support Kavanaugh coming out of the committee and going to the full Senate, but I'm not going to vote for him in the full Senate, which would kill him in the full Senate, too, would kill Kavanaugh's nomination in the full Senate if he doesn't vote for him. Unless there's a 1-week FBI investigation into this. That's the deal they cut. So the Democratic senators are meeting with the Republicans, and they're everybody, and they run back into the room, and then they announce that they have, they call the roll, they move the nomination to the full Senate, and the Democrats are waiting for this another amendment to come through here that allows for this 1 week cooling off period where the FBI does the investigation. But instead, the two-hour rule gets invoked, and we don't even know what that means. You're not following me now? It's okay. No one's following me now.
The members of the Senate Judiciary Committee weren't following at this point.
Nobody understood what was going on at this moment. So
I can tell you what that is. It's when any senator over 90 falls down after 2 hours, you can pick a successor.
Well, there was a he invokes the two-hour rule, and then so Chuck Grassley, who's 200 years old,
yes,
and Dianne Feinstein, who's 180 years old, then get caught in this hot mic moment, like your grandparents at Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, no.
Right? They're kind of looking at each other.
It was,
or like,
not good.
In-laws at Thanksgiving dinner, in the day room of the assisted living center.
Everybody's confused.
Because of the two-hour rule, we're adjourned.
What?
The two-hour rule.
No vote.
When did we come in? When did we come in at noon? No. We did. Yeah, the two-hour rule.
Two-hour rule.
Yeah, we knew you were going. We had to get this all done by 2 o'clock.
Well, is it done? Is Flake's is it going to happen? Or did you cut off a vote?
No. We didn't have a motion in front of us. This is all a gentleman and women's agreement.
Gentlemen and women's agreement.
I would assume, but I'm committed to...
Let him say what he's committed to.
Hey, John.
Well, that cleared things
and
up.
And Leahy walks over there, too, and he paddles over. Right, again, it's, are we having applesauce?
Paddles
are
over.
What are we doing?
Shuffleboard beginning.
Right.
Stay on this, kid.
What time is bingo?
Oh, my God.
Really?
That's exactly what it
I'm not bringing
like.
Out the gold silverware this Thanksgiving. I told you that.
He's like, what's going on?
That's unfortunate.
A gentleman and ladies agreement.
No. Gentlemen and women's agreement.
Women's agreement. That,
which I thought was really weird. Like, the women folk, see, when Grassley was, joined the Senate, they didn't allow women to vote, let alone to be in the Senate.
Which is why he described Dr. Ford's testimony, or a woman, as very attractive and pleasing.
Pleasing, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other words probably wouldn't use associated with her. What?
Yeah. I did like, what? What happened?
Oh, yeah.
What did you just do? Did we agree? What time do we come in here? What time is it?
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Noon?
I'm not staying up till 7 like we did last night. That was crazy.
It's 2 o'clock. How are we going to get home?
My pudding's melting.
Go to dinner. It's 3 p.m.
Judy was coming up at the bottom of the hour in the newsroom.
Well, we'll have more on the FBI investigation to come. On November 6th, you have the power to influence the course of politics. Follow the most comprehensive local political news online, chicagotribune.com/midterms. And I misspoke earlier. Senator Grassley was not the one who called Dr. Ford attractive and pleasing. It was Senator Hatch.
And Senator Hatch, the whole time today, was just on his phone. He was like, he literally was like Violetta when we look into the traffic booth and she's just scrolling through her Instagram. He was just on his phone the whole time, like doing the thing with his hands.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is it?
Something's coming in. It's very important.
Is he playing Candy Crush? Is he on Insta? What? I don't know.
He's got to do that T9 thing where for each text, you know, on the Moto Razor. So it takes a while. Darn thing.
No, I think is Utah playing a big game, or Brigham Young playing a good big game this weekend? Something? I don't know.
Who do I want? And see, the Bears are at home against Tampa.
All right.
Take the Bears.
Checking in at
number 3.
Kristen Bell. Now, I love Kristen Bell.
Yes.
The actress. She sprung to prominence playing a disembodied voice.
Oh, yeah.
Right? She was on Gossip Girl.
Mm.
She's sort of the narrator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they had her on the TV last night. Is this on Seth Meyers? Playing the disembodied voice, reading Trump tweets.
Huh.
ex-NSA contractor to spend 63 months in jail over classified information. Gee, this is small potatoes compared to what Hillary Clinton did. So unfair, Jeff. Double standard. XOXO, Gossip Girl.
That somehow works.
That's pretty great.
Love her. All right, checking in at
number two.
I don't know how I feel about this. Murphy Brown is back.
Yeah.
I didn't know that we needed. I don't know if it needed to be back. I mean, it was great when it ran and the whole Elden thing.
Yeah,
I get it. It was fine. It was well done, but it seems like the one thing we don't need is another hyper political television show. We already have it on TV. It's called.
That's a good point.
CNN and Fox and MSNBC and all that. We get to watch it in real time now. News about a show about the news. We're already watching the news. Anyway, so what they did on the premiere is they show Murphy Brown interviewing a job applicant to become a secretary for the studio, it says here. Little did she know that the job applicant was Hillary.
I guess you've heard this is a pretty demanding job.
I want you to know I'm not afraid of hard work. I'm qualified and ready on day one.
And I also assume you've had previous secretarial experience?
Absolutely. For 4 years, I was the secretary of a very large organization.
Well, you are very impressive, maybe a little overqualified. How about I take some time to think it over and give you a call?
Well, it was a pleasure meeting you. I'll be expecting your call. And here, let me give you my card. Thank you.
Thank you. Hillary@youcouldahadme.com.
They were supposedly close friends and invited her on the show, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it actually on the TV, or do we have to just stream it?
It is on CBS because
CBS keeps telling you to stream their stuff, and I'm like, do you still have a network?
They do.
Are we shutting off the network? What are we doing?
They just lost their head honcho, but they're still.
Unless Moonves leaves, everything goes online, and Julie Chen is not going to be on any of it anymore.
It's so weird.
Julie Chen, Moonves.
Number one.
Millions upon millions of people watched that testimony yesterday with Brett Kavanaugh and Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. Now, whatever you think about the politics of this, there's no denying the stark contrast between Blasey Ford's calm and almost like super helpful, almost servile attitude. How can I help? What can I do? Can I help you in any way? And then Kavanaugh, who was more of an aggressive and sometimes sort of indignant, right? Now, the folks at Elara Pictures thought that there was something missing from Kavanaugh's testimony. Samuel L. Jackson.
Now, let me take a wild guess here. You're Brett, right?
Correct.
I thought so.
I got into Yale Law School.
Check out the big brain on Brett.
That's the number one law school in the country.
You're a smart mother. That's right.
I had no connections there. I got there by busting my tail.
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Sorry about that. Did you have it?
Beer. I still like beer.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Sometimes I had too many beers, but I did not drink beer to the point of blacking out. And I never sexually assaulted anyone.
Yes, you did! Yes, you did, Brett!
He is warm, friendly, unassuming. He's the nicest person.
I don't remember asking you a damn thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
All right.
Okay.
All right. I've had it from now. You know what? I've had it. I'm done now. I don't know what to do.
Reach your limit.
I have reached my limit. First of all, we didn't need Murphy Brown. We didn't need Hillary on Murphy Brown. And let's be honest. Let's be honest. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson, I do love when Samuel L. Jackson gets all in this. But it's too soon, damn it. It's too soon. Wait another week. Okay. Can we start drinking now?
Let's wrap it up, yeah.
Yes. It's the Carnarvon Wagon about to roll right around this corner.
The top five at five.
To alcohol. The cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Leave me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, and one beer. One bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life. And I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
They weren't laughing at me. They were laughing with me. We had fun. That was not laughing at me. So, the fake news said people laughed at President Trump. They didn't laugh at me. People had a good time with me. We were doing it together. We had a good time.
Sounds like Joe Pesci there. I don't know why.
He does, kind of. I thought we were going to use the drop from Kavanaugh. I like beer. I still like beer. I drank beer. I drink beer. I did drink beer. We drank beer. 25 mentions of beer.
I like beer.
Okay.
Although
I got
when,
it.
When you say it, be a little... I mean, beer is a relaxing item.
It's
I
not
like
a beer!
Beer. Okay, I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. I
mean, we like beer.
Be like
here
Tom
too.
T. Hall.
Yeah.
Right? I like beer.
All right. Speaking of beer, okay. Listen to this. Let's get out of the world of politics. Let's get to the world of fun.
Thank you.
Beguile Brewing Company and Dovetail Brewery, the third annual Oktoberfestversary. Mm-hmm. Right? It's Oktoberfestiversary.
Yeah.
I'm missing an is sound. I'm missing an entire syllable right there. Mm-hmm. Now, this is, and we got the guys from Guile and from Dovetail here to explain exactly what this is, and then we're going to go through the beer. Let's get the plug out of the way so I can relax. I can never relax. So whoever wants to take this, when and where is this event?
So this event is located on Belle Plaine Avenue.
Uh-huh.
It's actually conveniently located between Dovetail and Beguile.
Oh, very interesting.
In the Ravenswood Industrial Corridor on the north side of Chicago, Illinois.
Very nice area. What is with the Ravenswood Corridor and the beers and the breweries? There's quite a lot of action over there. A
lot of nice old timber buildings, manufacturing. There's about a 2-mile corridor of, it was sort of industrialized about 100 years ago. And
sweatshops. Essentially.
Oh, come on.
It was. That's what it was. That's
really?
Exactly what it was.
Lincoln Logs. Lincoln Logs
child
and
labor.
Child labor. Yeah.
Oh. Was, well, yeah. I don't know.
Not anymore.
It,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, back then, not Lincoln Logs, of course. They used real adults because you mentioned their brand. But you know, those were all textile small manufacturing kind of things. Uh-huh. And there was a golf club manufacturer there. They, the one armed guys putting together golf clubs.
Jeez.
So it was, but now it's. But
his arm was chopped off. And the machines.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Before
lovely
they had logs.
Dickensian tale.
And because he liked it. But now it's breweries, and it's also, and you're right next to the, I think the restaurants up there are, that is the sneak place for great food in North America right now. Everybody likes to talk about, these other, whether you Logan Square,
right.
It's great. Pilsen's great.
West Loop. A lot of fancy places.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That Ravenswood area and Lincoln Avenue and that corridor there in Lincoln Square, I think pound for pound, you can't beat it. And you got these guys up there now that in everywhere you go, that you go into a restaurant now and they've got 100 handles of beer. And I don't know what
I get confused.
It's like two. And how do they know where to go, right? I mean, I don't know. How do they know what to pull on? I want the thing that, no, don't give me the, I don't want the duck. I want the other one, the one over there.
I know.
The other one.
Right. We tried celebrity bartending one night. We only had 3 pulls and that didn't go so well.
It really didn't. That's a good point. They were storming the bar a couple of times.
Just get out of the way.
Yeah.
Well, it was also police officers, so they.
That's true.
It was very interesting. They like to drink. I don't know if you've noticed that. All right, let's talk about. All right, so it is okay. So it's up there. It's on Belle Plaine, and is it not quite Lincoln though yet? Right?
Not quite. No, we're so both Dovetail and Beguile are located between the CTA and the Metra, so we're sandwiched in between. Two great public transit options. So
yep.
That's good. Good.
Yeah. There's a little triangle park up there. Isn't there? There's like a little play lot park up right by you.
Mm-hmm.
We got
that's the other thing. Restaurants, parks, neighborhood breweries.
That's great.
It's a great neighborhood. I live there. These guys. Well, Hagen lives in the neighborhood.
I do.
Grew
up in the neighborhood actually.
Yep.
So and you are two different. Dovetail and Beguile are two different things. I'm gonna brag on Dovetail here for a second.
Okay.
I feel like I found something.
Yeah.
When you're like an early adopter and like you're the first person to find something. I was like in high school, I'm like, I found Led Zeppelin, man. And they're like, who?
So cool.
They're like, everybody knows about Led Zeppelin. I go, no, truly, man. I invented Led Zeppelin. You know, it's like that kind of a thing. So I gotta say, there is in this scene, in this Chicago beer scene, it's amazing. It's like you can't keep these breweries from the big guys coming in and trying to buy them and take them and make them not local anymore. And that's, and it's driving me just a little crazy because I'm a huge fan. You guys up on the north side, you got those guys in Bedford Park who are amazing. There are guys all over. And it's like the turn of the century all over again in Chicago, right?
Nobody like wants to buy them, too. Nobody. Nobody wants to buy us.
Oh, I'm out.
Not yet. Well,
we do want a zip line. We want a zip line between our two breweries. That's about it.
That'd be good.
So. See if the alderman can get on that before you guys, you know?
This is going to be next weekend, October 6th and 7th, from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., both days. There is nothing to miss here. It's a suggested donation. And it's the money goes to the Friendship Center and Friendship Pet Pantry, which is a really, really cool thing.
Oh, I love that.
And this is Belle Plaine, which is the two blocks north of Irving Park. I used to live on Belle Plaine years ago.
Yeah.
Over there?
It was not further
banned.
East.
He's banned.
Further east. And it was pretty it was sketchy. I was a pioneer.
Yeah. I remember growing up in Hagen. You could talk about this because we both went to Lane Tech High School at the same time.
We did.
A lot of people hung out there at the Zephyr restaurant, not too far from there. But that was the kind of restaurant you had in that neighborhood. It was like mom and pops. You had diners, and you had a lot of that kind of thing.
Exactly.
The Zephyr was for ice cream, though, right? Didn't you go for
ice
cream?
They had food, too.
It was. They did have food, yeah. They had
the
they
tuna
had
melt.
Decent,
tuna melt was great.
Right, good grilled cheese.
Yeah, and then the sparkly kind of cushy, you know, kind of seats in there.
I called it Zephyr's, though.
The Zephyr's?
You know, over by Zephyr's? I'm going to meet you over by Zephyr's.
Yeah. We're going to Zephyr's.
Yeah, it's true. All right, let's go through the beers here. Let's go, because we got beers. We might as well do
beers.
It.
I enjoyed the walk like down beer. Memory lane, but I'd like to drink some beer now, if you guys don't mind.
To the beer.
All right. Who wants to? Who's going to? I got three guys here. Kevin's been doing all the talking. Bill, who is he's like Teller of Penn and Teller, doesn't say anything. And then we got Hagen, who's Anna's friend.
Good description.
All right. So
I like that.
Where do we go here? What are we starting with?
Well, I believe the first beer is Beguiles Blonde.
Beguiles
Blonde.
That's
their flagship beer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the best beers they make.
Oh, man, that's good.
We drank a lot of Blonde at one point.
We did when we were doing our construction.
That's good. That's right, yeah. Yeah,
it was fresh.
It's nice.
How many? How big are your two breweries here in terms of like how much goes out the door every year?
Less than Anheuser-Busch spills in a day.
Okay.
That's a good way to put it.
Combined.
But you can go buy this. I mean, I see both of you guys in the bars.
Yeah.
Right all over the north side. You know, on the Hop Leaf and places like that, they get a billion handles. And then in the stores, right? And then people can go to the brewery and they can go hang out and they can drink at the brewery too.
That's
right?
The best.
Yep. That is the best.
Oh yeah,
it is.
That really is the best. All right, so this is nice. This is very hot
nice.
Blonde you got over here. And these are now. Why is it that beer is better now than it has ever been? Can anybody want to take that? Why is
it's
that
fresh?
Fresh.
Well,
is
there's
good.
Been. Yeah, I mean, there's been a renaissance since and a growing renaissance since like 1976, right? And it's just kind of snowballed since then. So in 1976. Home brewing became legal.
Yeah, which was a false branch on the tree, I would like to point out, because everybody's cousin would have you over.
I hated that. Try our beer.
Yeah. It was never very good.
A lot of potted plants were killed in the name of beers that you'd secretly spill.
It was not a good time for beer.
But then the microbreweries started.
Right, but the guys who did it well and women who did it well, they started breweries.
Mm.
And they became more successful, and they inspired others, and that
there was a change in the
continued.
Law too that helped all this, too,
right? But I'm saying after 76. So in 1976, there were 40 breweries left in the United States, and today we're approaching 7,000.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And they're good, man. I mean, you
fantastic.
Guys are particularly great.
So good.
But, you know, I would say in Chicago, there are probably a dozen. And I'm not even talking about, some of them, obviously, you know, Lagunitas started here, or, you know, Goose, places like that.
Yep.
Those are great. But, you know, they become kind of, you know, bigger enterprises.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can think of a dozen of these small batch breweries that I think just blow about anything else
terrific.
Out of the water. And there's complexity like wine. To these beers, which is really great because you can. It's because if I drink wine too quickly, all of a sudden I turn into Brett Kavanaugh at the, hearing yesterday.
I like wine. I really like wine.
Yeah,
you're blowing a gasket.
Tight end and defensive back, two-way player, man.
That's germane.
All right, hold on a second. All right, what's the next beer?
The next beer. This is our fest beer. This is the beer you'll find at our Oktoberfest anniversary.
That's a dovetail beer.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, so, you know, nice, beer for fall.
Oh, that's a great beer.
Higher alcohol. Mm-hmm. That keeps you warm on a day like this.
That beer took 4.5 months to brew.
Ah.
So it's technically, it's called a Märzen, which in German means March.
Okay.
And it's the beer of March. You brew it in March.
The Germans love to march, man.
Well, let me tell you.
Oh, you mean the month of March. Okay. Hello. All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah. 4.5 months to brew.
Not that beer of March.
Yeah, jeez.
Let's skip that part.
1 6-pack later, and they're invading both Poland and France. Yeah, I know how it goes. All right, and then.
Hangover.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
And then, all right, that's an Oktoberfest beer.
That's a great beer.
Yeah.
All right. And then now we're going to get to this other Dovetail product for a second here. This is the one I claim I invented. We had the guys from the Lincoln Square Chamber of Commerce, right?
Yeah.
They do this festival in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in here a couple of months ago and they were serving this cherry beer. This is not a cherry. Is it a cherry ale or beer? Which does it matter?
It's a spontaneously fermented beer, re-fermented on cherries.
Okay. It is unbelievable. And I have not been able to. I've been searching for it. Everywhere I go where I know it's going to be, it's always sold out.
Mm.
It's the unicorn. It's the white unicorn of beers right now. Even though it's red, it's cherry. Explain how you do this. Because this is a crazy story, how you actually make this.
So we brew the beer in our brew house in a very special way. That's like setting a trap for the right wild yeasts that are all around us all the time.
In the environment.
And we only brew it in fall and spring. And we let it sit overnight in a thing called a cool ship, which is a big, flat, shallow stainless steel pan with the windows open. It's on the second floor of our brewery. And
it's also a large Rottweiler there for those of you who heard about the windows being open, just so you know. Okay, so don't get tricky, right. Just so you know.
Exactly.
Don't get any ideas.
Right. Just saying.
Yeah, good to point out.
You literally in this cherry beer, you can taste the weather.
Okay.
Let me try that.
Amazing. It tastes like outdoor. It tastes like Chicago outdoors, not like, you know, some pristine place.
Fantastic.
It tastes like the thing that when you get back to Chicago and you take your first breath after you get, you know, to your neighborhood, after you've been away for a while, and you're like, oh, I'm home. That's what this
tastes
like.
Wow, that's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah,
what's the alcohol content on this particular beer?
This would be 6.5%.
Getting higher by the minute.
Okay. This is what I was wondering. I can feel it. I can taste it.
Right.
I just want to make sure we get all the way through these.
DovetailBrewery.com and Beguile Brewing.com. And Beguile's BEGYLE. BeguileBrewing.com. And this event is coming up next weekend. We'll give you more details on that. But first, the Carnival Wagon is rolling, brought to us by It's Just Lunch. Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Judy has stepped away.
Andrea, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Top of the hour. Calls to the rape crisis hotline in Chicago tripled yesterday. We'll have that story and much, much more coming up at 6.
Thought we had everything figured out. There was nothing left to talk about. Thought we were all right. But then came last night. And out of the blue, you said I don't love you. My world came down.
There's Andrew Salgado. That song right there, Out of the Blue, which is a gigantic hit and is a video that has just come out, was debuted on this very radio program.
It well.
How about that? And now Andrew comes back to...
He still comes back.
I don't know why he still comes back.
And he still makes me cry. Guys. He totally makes us cry. Your lyrics are just, very deeply connectable.
Thank you.
You're too big for us, I think, at this point. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I have started to get recognized. I got recognized at the Nashville Zoo. The lady said, I know you. I know you. I know you. You must work here. And then I went, no, I sing for a living. She goes, oh, that's what it is.
It's like, I know you from the Rock Concert. No. Oh.
No.
No, well, no. Not in Nashville. Not in Nashville. Right. Not,
yeah, we'll exactly. get you syndicated.
Yeah, so. Yeah, okay. Don't worry. Yeah, that has been tried and failed before, my friend. All right. And so we, by the way, I know that you don't drink, but we're continuing to drink okay. here. I want to mention this one more time because we gave them short shrift. Let's just be honest, because we started drinking and stopped doing the plugging.
That happens sometimes. Yeah.
It is the people should go to this next weekend in North Center between the Dovetail and Beguile Breweries on Bell Plain Avenue, mm-hmm. just north of Irving Park at Ravenswood, between Bell Plain and Kyler, and that little area there. Just go to Ravenswood and Bell Plain. You will find this. There's a festival going on,
yeah,
and it's for a great cause. Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and some of the best beer you're ever going to have in your life.
No
and
question.
And it's all being brewed right there. Right there, which is kind of a crazy thing when you stop and you think about it.
It is.
How's it possible that it's all right there? Right here in Chicago. All right. Now, Andrew Salgado, again, this is a guy that is an amazing ascendant writer, singer-songwriter, performer. And I knew him since he was 3 years old. and it's a very, very, you're having this cool moment. We're watching, yeah. You know, our little Andrew grow up. Just got engaged this year.
I did.
You just got.
She's amazing.
Congrats,
she's from here.
Andrew.
You wrote out of the blue about a really bad breakup.
I did.
And then the next thing you know, you yeah. find a girl here and look what happens.
Yep.
She come out of the blue or did you?
She came extremely out of the blue. She showed up at a show. And I just saw her and her mom and didn't had no clue who she was. And I couldn't really take my eyes off her for like a minute. And I watched her walk all the way from the left all the way to the right. I watched her get food. And then I got into the awkward moment of like, don't let her see you.
<Don't>
like, look away, look away, look back, look away, look back. So I'm very, very lucky. It's been a very, very fun year. And one of those years that you just can't anticipate. I mean, we did a really great tour this year. We sold a lot of tickets. We never really went into ticket selling stuff. We got on a lot of radio stations. We got to play our music. We got our music in rotation. For a lot of people who don't know, that's a really big deal for us. And on top of it, to get engaged and to plan a wedding and then find out how expensive weddings are. So we're going
to
need everyone
to
go
play
the records.
United Center before it's all said and done. Just to pay for one show at the United Center pays for one wedding. Hey, speaking of the United Center, I got a pair of tickets right now to the Hawks home opener coming up a week from Sunday. That's October 6th, 6 o'clock versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's an original six matchup. You're not going to want to miss it. Caller number 21 for Stan Mikita, who will be honored that night.
Nice.
312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. All right, Andrew Salgado, what do you want to play for us?
We're going to play one of the songs off the last record. It's called I Miss You. Stuck at the terminal, 'cause my flight's delayed. I could sit and wait or take the very next train. Haven't seen your face in 7 long days. And now I miss you, baby, baby. Thinking about you day and night is crazy, crazy. And I'm wondering if you think about me, maybe, maybe. Praying, wishing, hoping that you do. I hope that you do. 'Cause I miss you, baby, baby. I miss you, baby, baby. So when I come home late from a hard day's pay, the first thing on my mind is if you're alright. It's only been a week, but I'm coming over tonight. 'Cause I miss you, baby, baby. Thinking about you day and night is crazy, crazy. And I'm wondering if you think about me, maybe, maybe. Praying, wishing, hoping that you do. I hope that you do. 'Cause I miss you, baby, baby. I miss you, baby, baby. Can't think straight, must be fake. You're all I think about. And now I go insane when someone speaks your name. I smile every hour of every day. And now I miss you, baby, baby. Thinking about you day and night is crazy, crazy. And I'm wondering if you think about me, maybe, maybe. Praying, wishing, hoping that you do. I hope that you do. 'Cause I miss you, baby, baby. I miss you, baby, baby.
Here we go.
Yeah. This is why Andrew Salgado is Andrew Salgado.
So true.
Oh man,
you're like an uncle at this point.
No, you know what you get? You're gonna forget about me.
Totally.
Break my heart.
No.
All right.
You promise?
No. You know what's great about Nashville is that people just
He started a sentence. You know what's great about Nashville? But go ahead. Well, what?
People don't get that way out there. You know, you'll sit next to the guy that wrote 5 o'clock Summer, my first producer, and you have no clue it's him. And you'll enjoy a burger at the pharmacy with one of the most down-to-earth people. And I'll always come back.
It is a great town.
And if you keep feeding me, I mean...
Yeah, well, we will. We'll keep doing that. There's always food for you here, Andrew.
AndrewSalgado.net, by the way. Very important. .net. AndrewSalgado.net. And you can find him on all of the Instas and the Twitters and the rest of the stuff. You want to do Out of the Blue on the other side? Full Out of the Blue live?
Yes, I love that song.
It makes everybody cry.
Oh, it does.
By the way, I brought Santana with me.
Yes, Carlos is here. I did see. Thank you for being here, Carlos. I know it seems like it does seem like you'd be busier than to be here, but whatever.
We're so happy you're here.
We will totally take it. Let's check in though with Andrea Darlis and find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour from the WGN newsroom. Actually, it's the Northwestern Medicine WGN newsroom.
It is. Yes. Well, thousands of people have already signed up to lie inside of a coffin at a St. Louis amusement park. We'll have that story and much, much more at 6:30.
And Violetta's traffic being brought to us by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Matera and Joe Dunlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
All right. Andrew Salgado is in the studio with us. We love him. We made him. We found him. We birthed him.
Really.
As far as we could tell. He's
How much alcohol have you guys drank?
Not enough. And I would like to say, though, that Andrew, you can find him. Just go on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is, Andrew Salgado.
Yes.
AndrewSalgado.net to find his music, to buy his music. He's one of the great emerging young country stars in America. And he's right here from Chicago. You don't have that very often, but we have it here with him. And this song, which I swear, the first time I heard it, I said, this song is going number one.
You did say that.
And it is climbing up the charts. There's a new video out right now. You can go to AndrewSalgado.net to see it. It is a heartbreaking story about a breakup. But if you want a good cry, which is what I want right now, this song is for you. Take it away.
Thought we had everything figured out. There was nothing left to talk about. Thought we were alright, but then came last night. And out of the blue, you said I don't love you. And my world came down. Hear the earth shout. What should I do? Since I can't be with you, my skies are gray. I'm out of the blue. Wish I could talk to you now. See if you're missing me somehow. I'd wait my whole life just for a sign. Out of the blue, you said I don't love you. And my world came down. I could hear the earth shout. What should I do? Since I can't be with you, my skies are gray. I'm out of the blue, yeah. And I say, oh.